Good morning, welcome to the Australian Early Finance Briefing for Thursday, the 3rd of September. My name's Nick here in Melbourne. Starting with Singaporean-owned Regional Express Airlines, or REX, they have announced they're embarking on a big expansion program, tapping the Golden Triangle, which is, you know, definitely in need of more competition with two incumbents in a very profitable market. That's the Brisbane-Sydney-Melbourne Triangle. Now, the CEO of Qantas, Alan Joyce, has called out REX on a lot of its antics. So the chairman of REX is the former National Party Transport Minister under the Howard government, and they have been receiving a huge amount of government support during the coronavirus crisis. So this is an airline that has, well, it's just reported a flat revenue of $320 million for the last financial year, and it's looking to receive well over $100 million in subsidies just this sort of calendar year. So we see that they've received $62 million in the first half, another $40 million this quarter, and then more in the next quarter. And they, in addition to this, you know, have said they're going to be purchasing up to 10 narrow-body jets to operate this Golden Triangle route, which they price at $30 million. Alan Joyce has called them out on that, saying it cost Qantas $120 million to set up Jetstar back in 2003. So 30 sounds very low. Alan Joyce also highlights that, you know, Qantas is having to lay off 6,000 to 8,500 people. They've had to issue secured bonds, secured on their 787s. And you've got Virgin going through administration, yet here you've got REX, the most government-supported airline, which is Singaporean-owned, expanding. The competition is good, but it certainly doesn't seem like the airline industry is by any means a level playing field in Australia. And on to ESG investing. Now, we've got some big news that's just been announced in Germany. The sort of much maligned part of the ESG investment market is fixed income. And certainly in pro-ESG Europe, where there's a lot of interest in ESG investing and it's being increasingly mandated, there is an allocation of only 8% in these passive ESG funds to fixed income. Now, there's a game change out of Germany. They've just announced they're issuing a $6 billion 10-year green bond, a sovereign-issued green bond. And this is the first of many. They plan to issue a 2 to 30-year green, you know, curve spectrum of maturities. And it will be the first sovereign to do this whole sort of curve. There are some existing sovereign issuers, but they only issue a couple of different maturity dates. Now, what's key here is, you know, the bond market is such a big part of the fixed income market, and they see that this will really put green investing in fixed income at the sort of front and center, and will have a profound shift in both liquidity in that market and just the size. And it should be sort of should give the market a critical mass to really expand. There's some skeptics that are saying, well, you know, Germany's burning a ton of coal for its energy, particularly as they've transitioned away from nuclear. And this is, you know, seems a little bit hypocritical. But it really does seem to be, you know, it will help Europe fund its very ambitious decarbonizing strategies, and it will attract further attention and scale to this vital market in the future. Continuing with the topic of ESG investing, we've got some news from Bloomberg Green that Mitsubishi Power Americas are building three new gas-fired power plants in the US, in New York, Ohio, and Virginia. And what's different about these power plants is that they can have their fuel replaced with hydrogen. So that means when hydrogen is available, they'll be able to just switch over and run on green hydrogen, which is hydrogen derived from renewable sources such as, you know, solar and wind. And this will cost them, the plants will cost $3 billion, and they'll collectively generate 3.2 gigawatts of electricity, which is the equivalent of the Loy Yang A and B coal facility here in Victoria. And that is Australia's largest single source of carbon emissions. And continuing with the theme of ESG investing, in Europe, the European Union has really been leading the way with better disclosure policies on ESG investing. Now, the key problem with ESG investing is a phenomenon known as greenwashing, and that's where, you know, let's say a company might be building a new coal mine, but it's using electric vehicles to do the digging. You know, those sorts of things means, you know, they're an innovative company using renewable energy for part of their business, but the other side, they're really causing terrible environmental damage. That's one extreme example, but the problem a lot of people in the investment industry face is they really don't know at a, you know, deep down level whether their target companies or, you know, what they're investing in is actually complying with ESG guidelines and, you know, the intention of the spirit of the rules. So what the European Union are doing, they're forcing fund managers in Europe to have a uniform set of ESG disclosures with the aim to clamp down on greenwashing. So they have to provide clear information about the sustainability of their investments. Now, these rules are due to come into force in March next year, but there's a lot in the industry that have really kicked up a fuss saying, oh, there's not enough time, and like the key problems are that the companies we invest in don't even know themselves whether they're green. How can you expect the investors to sort of know? So, you know, comments like the rules have been drafted with no appreciation of the steps and timescales that we deal with. That was the Director of Responsible Investment at First State Investments. Now, he says that at least a third of the data asset managers were required to report on with these new guidelines is actually not available. But on the other side of the argument, some industry figures believe that complaints over this deadline is just to provide cover to the sort of ESG laggards in the industry who fear being exposed by these new disclosure rules. There are some people who are greenwashing and would like to see this regulation held up, the Chief Responsible Investment Officer at Aviva. He added that implementing the reporting framework would help the data to emerge by prompting asset managers to demand ESG information from companies. Makes sense. Moving to the markets now, about an hour after the US opened, the S&P 500's up about 40 bips, led by consumer non-cyclical stocks, and you know, NASDAQ's actually lagging a little bit. Coming up here in Australia, we don't have much in terms of the economic flow. Obviously, there'll be a lot of analysis and digestion of the terrible GDP reading we had yesterday. That's your early update for Thursday. Enjoy your day.
This podcast is for investment professionals only and should not be relied upon by private investors. The podcast is provided for informational purposes only and does not constitute financial advice. The values of investments can go up or down, so you may get back less than you initially invested.